From Mendocino County Public Broadcasting, this is the KZYX News for Wednesday, September 18th. This is Carol Brodsky. On September 15th, members of UC Berkeley's Cannabis Research Center presented findings from several groundbreaking research projects. The presentation took place at the Hopland Research and Extension Center and represents many years of research conducted by a 12-person team and 50 undergraduates. A first-of-its-kind survey of cannabis production practices was completed by 350 California cannabis farmers with a focus on cannabis production practices. An additional survey, using 900 completed reports from the North Coast Regional Water Board, studied cannabis water use. Additionally, the team studied how the lingering effects of prohibition continue to impact planning, enforcement, community and political leadership, and regulatory activities. We caught up with Dr. Van Butzik, Assistant Cooperative Extension Specialist and co-director of the Cannabis Research Center. I asked him why UC Berkeley has taken an interest in cannabis.
For my job with Cooperative Extension, I look at what's most important to Californians. And when I looked around, Californians everywhere in the state are interested in three things: water, wildfire, and cannabis. And there's a lot of people working on water and a lot of people working on wildfire, but not many people studying cannabis. So two parts of the research that I've been involved with. The first is a survey of cannabis growers throughout the state of California, but with a focus on the North Coast, asking them about what are barriers to joining the legal market? What are the barriers to compliance? The second research project had to do with cannabis and water use and water extraction. So we basically asked, where are cannabis farmers getting their water and how much water are they using?
The meticulously designed, exceedingly confidential survey divided up respondents into those who were legal farmers, those who had pending applications, and those working within the unregulated market. Remarkably, the respondents divided up almost equally between those three classifications. They were asked wide-ranging questions about demographics, their experience with enforcement, cultivation practices, how much personal income is derived from cannabis, and their opinions about regulation, the environment, and land use. The respondents were disproportionately white, male, married, and college educated, who have farmed between 16 and 23 years, with an average annual income between $50,000 and $99,000. Regardless of permitting status, the respondents shared similar environmentally sound cultivation practices, including closed-loop and organic growing methods, with over 70% stating they plant their crop away from streams. Two demographics represented the people least likely to apply for permits: farmers who grow 100 pounds or less, and older farmers 60 years and up. Noting that it easily takes $100,000 or much more to bring a property into compliance, farmers unanimously stated that the upfront costs required to meet regulatory requirements is their biggest barrier to compliance. We asked Dr. Butzik if there was anything surprising in the reports.
I think in the survey, there were not huge surprises insofar as most people, both those who were successful in getting permits and those who were not successful, found the process extremely confusing and extremely expensive. People complained about the high cost and the low certainty in the permit application process. In the water work, probably the most interesting tidbit that we found was that although popular media oftentimes describes cannabis farmers as using water directly from streams, the majority of farmers are actually using water from wells.
Over 70% of Mendocino County respondents reported wells as their primary water source. In fact, one-third of non-compliant farms reported well water as their primary water source. I asked Dr. Butzik about any takeaways from the study that could spread beyond the management and regulation of cannabis.
Well, we're certainly interested to see if, as the market for cannabis develops and their cannabis farmers are held to very high environmental standards, we're interested to see if they're able to make a living doing this. And if they are, then it might be pertinent to ask whether we might want to hold other agricultural producers at a similar standard.
The researchers were unapologetic in their assertion that small farmers face an uncertain future. They cite a misalignment between existing practices and outsized compliance costs, which incentivizes smaller cultivators to stay in the unregulated market. The irony is not lost on growers. One medium-sized Mendocino County grower awaiting permanent licensing stated, "All cannabis farmers aren't rich outlaws. We are these communities." I asked Dr. Butzik if cannabis farmers are being held to a higher standard of regulation versus other types of agriculture.
Because it's federally illegal, the cannabis farmers are being held to standards that are usually higher than regular agriculture or regular timber, but they're also not able to access the same resources that that other farmers would be able to. So a good example is most farmers have access to cost share programs that can help them with infrastructural improvements. And if they're not able to access those, they're at least able to access bank loans so that they can spread out the payment for infrastructural improvements over a long time. Cannabis farmers have access to none of that.
For KZYX News, this is Carol Brodsky. For all our local news with photos and more, visit kzyx.org.